Our Father and our God, we thank you because you're a good Father. Thank you, merciful Father, for what you're doing in the lives of our young adults. Thank you for all the pastorate that are there with them and their leadership. You have groomed them for a time like this, and we know that they are not coming back the same. Thank you for those of us who are here. You are the same Father. You are omnipresent. You are everywhere, so we know you're here. And Father, we know you're here and you will do us good. We too will certainly not live here the same. We give you the praise for the understanding mind of your word and for the willingness to put them to practice so that our profiting shall appear unto all men. Our joy shall be full and your name shall be glorified. Thank you, merciful Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So today we are going to be concluding what we started on the Mother's Day, which is the topic, Your Attitude is Your Choice. Your Attitude is Your Choice, part 2. Our text is Philippians 2, verse 5. It says, you must have the same attitude that Christ had, which means Jesus had an attitude while he was here. And God the Father wants us to also portray the same attitude. We said attitude, when I checked in the dictionary, means a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in one's behavior. So when those things you're thinking about is shown in your outer life, that's your attitude you're showing. So we said your attitude is therefore your thought life that is turned inside out. It really tells us what is exactly on your mind, and it shows in your body language, in your facial expression. And we said your attitude can limit how far you can go in your relationships, for you can't prosper beyond the way your attitude is. So it limits you. It brings people close to you or drives them away from you. But thank God that as believers, we have Jesus. We have his thoughts and his purposes. So we know the feelings and the purpose for which those feelings are there, because we have him living on the inside of us. That's why 1 Corinthians 2:16 said that we have the mind of Christ. And we know his thoughts and purposes. But he went on in Philippians 2 verse 5 to now tell us what to do with those thoughts and purposes. He said in Philippians 2 verse 5, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, which means those his thoughts and purposes. And if you read beyond that verse 5, he began to expatiate on how he portrayed those attitudes. Though he was God, that he humbled himself, he put himself under God to do God's will. And we also read John 3:13, where it says that though he was here, but he is also in heaven. And we explain what that meant. That while he was here on earth, he was focused on the Father. He was drawing inspiration from the Father. He was getting his instructions from the Father. So, and we know for those of us who are born again, that there's a purpose for which God brought you into the family of God. You are not here existing for nothing. God has planned for you as a wife, as a husband, as a child, as a worker, wherever you find yourself in your business. There is what God expects from you. You are there to represent him. And then we began to talk about us, the women. We said we should be like Mama Sarah as mothers and as wives. They said that through, you know, the life, your life, without even speaking a word, you can convert your husband or anybody that you're working with. You, without speaking a word, just by them observing your conduct in your daily living, and consistency, we said, is required in this. It's not just a one-time thing. He said, when they observe your chaste conduct, that's verse 2, the manner in which you behave, and then accompanied by fear, that is that respect, the honor that is due to the man. In all sincerity, you find out that that man is being touched, is being turned. It might not be a day thing, it might not be 2 days, but gradually something is happening on the inside of him. And we encourage to not let our adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel, but we should pursue what is the most important matter in the relationship. Verse 4 began to tell us that, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. That which is precious in the sight of God. Don't forget, all of us, both men and female here, that Jesus Christ said he came that we might have life and have it to the full till it overflows. So what gladdens the heart of God is when we yield to his way of doing this life. Then we are giving him the room to operate in our life so that we shall have that life to the full till it overflows. 3 John 2 says that we shall both. God desires that we prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. We prosper and be in health to the extent to which our souls are prospering. And the only thing that prospers our soul is when with meekness we receive the implanted word, which is able to save our soul. When our soul is being saved, to the extent to which our soul is being saved, that is to the extent to which we are submitting to the word of God, we find out that our will begins to align with the will of God. And anything that is contrary to the word of God, we easily pick it up and we don't go that route. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then he said in verse 5, for in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. That is an expo of how they succeeded then. And that is what the Spirit of God is bringing to our attention. The holy women of God. And we are holy women of God. What made you holy is because you have Jesus in you. So you're part of the holy women of God. So we do what is right by submitting to our own husband. I don't forget when we were back there in Nigeria. And then I remember we were living at Queen's College. I was the one teaching, so the apartment was given to me because I'm a teacher. I was a teacher then. So, and my husband didn't have any income because God was dealing with him to surrender to be a pastor, and he didn't really want to be that. He wanted to really practice his pharmacy, and he didn't have any income. So there was you know, this thing about him. I saw that he was really being challenged a lot. So in our relationship, we were being challenged. You know, men, when there's no money, just like it happens to women, when a woman is not yet pregnant, you know, the way you feel. So I remember I began to pray and I asked God, help me. How do I enhance our relationship, enhance the family, you know, the things happening on in the family? And God told me, he said, when you come back from school, you know he comes back around 5 or thereabout. Just stay around the living room. Make sure you're there to welcome him, give him a hug, take his bag, and make sure you are the one to set his food. I had 3 big girls living with me. They used to help me because I will come back and I will rest because I want to start marking maybe tests or maybe studying for the next day. I began to do that. And I began to notice, not the first day, not the first week, but something began to happen. So as you yield to God's way, he will direct you how to relate with your own partner. You find out that God becomes God. You have allowed him to be God. And things began to improve. And I kept on doing that. I didn't stop. And the thing began, and then at the point, God began to tell me, now add love or honey or sweetie. And I began to do, I was not used to that. I began to add all that. So The Spirit of God will usually tell you, but first of all, you have to be willing to do it God's way. You don't have to say, but others are not doing it. Your name is not others. Neither is your name everybody. Just relate with your own partner according to knowledge. But make sure you are submitting. The Bible said in verse 6, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. I say, when you say Lord, Lord means there's nothing like no when it comes to Lord. Lord is yes. Whatever he tells you to do, you go ahead and do that because you're living under God. And God is able to defend you. We say that God will vindicate you even if that man proves to be tough. We read 1 Peter chapter 3. The Bible said in verse 3 of it, it said in verse 12, that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's why you know God will vindicate you. And then he said his face are against those who are doing evil. If he's doing well, God will also honor him. If he's not doing well, God will let him know. And verse 13 says, and who is he who will harm you if you become follower of that which is good? Follow your own lane with a good attitude, trusting and listening to the inner promptings of the Holy Spirit, and it will pull you through whatever it is. Psalm 94, 9 to 13. Psalm 94, it says, he who planted the ear, shall he not hear? And he who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nation, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. God sees, God hears. Allow him to guide you and submit. Make his word the standard, your lifestyle. If God ever says it, don't bother how the others are living. Don't bother what is going on in A or B's house. You follow him, and he will take good care of you. Amen? Once you let go and let God, God knows what to do. Amen? Hebrews 3 verse 4 says that, for every house is built by someone. Because God is going to do it through you and through other people. He will do it through you, but then it is still God. Because he has to do it through your word, his word that you allow to be lived out through your life. And through the word that your own partner is also hearing. That's why it calls for prayers. He said, but he who built all things is God. It has to be God at the end. Because a man can do nothing and a man can receive nothing except it was given to him from above. Most of us work as employees, and some of us are employers. I remember I used to carry a card of this scripture all the while I was working, especially all the while I worked here at SS County, and it really helped me to remind myself what the Bible said in Ephesians 6, 5, 9, because I needed my attitude to also be checked. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 to 9, he said, bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ. I'm reading Ephesians 6, 5 to 9, verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. It doesn't matter what that your boss or your whoever is leading you at the office is doing, your employer. It doesn't matter. Your job is to live unto God, to live to honor God, not as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. I said, but I'm not a bond servant. He said, but Paul is a bond servant of Christ. So I said, oh yeah, I'm a bond servant of Christ. So it is also talking to me. He said, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Whatever you're doing, you do it as unto God and not like as if you're serving man, because you are Christ's representative wherever you find yourself. knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. You can't reap for me, neither can I reap for you. It is what I'm planting that I'm going to reap, whether at my secular job, at the shop, in the house. It is what I'm sowing that I'm going to reap. So that's why I must make sure I reap what I sow what I would love to reap. Verse 9, he talks about the employers. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. You have to be just and fair in whatever you're doing as Christ's representative, as an employer. So when you live this way, God is a faithful rewarder, but represents him with a good attitude, following the word. So why I carry this and I read it every morning is to remind myself, to arm myself with what the word said, because I don't trust this flesh. I only trust God, who was the one keeping me. And I keep reading it till today to help me in all that I do. So be willing to patiently wait and be sure to you stay on your lane and in alignment with God's word in anything you find yourself doing. Let the word of God program your mind. It's so important. And that's why we kept emphasizing on renewing your mind. Let the word of God program your mind so that way your will easily align with the will of God. And when your will is in alignment with what God wants you to do, there is no way it will not lead to success and victory. We know that patience is a virtue and is one of the elements in the fruit of the Spirit, which is part of the theme for the Mother's Day message. And the Bible told us in Hebrews 10:35-36 that we have need of patience, that after we have done the will of God, that we might receive if we faint not. When you have been doing all these things, patiently keep waiting. Keep upholding him or even your wife in prayer. It is God that can do it, not you. You don't have what it takes to change anybody, like we already said earlier on. And that also, you know, helps us to know that in all the choices we make in this life, we must be sure that the word of God is our standard. We must be sure to follow the inward peace. We must be sure to see things through the eyes of God or through the lenses of God. Don't let the world become your standard or anybody your standard. We are only encouraged to look unto one person, and his name is Jesus. Amen. I remember the reading Luke 6:12-13, where the Bible said that Jesus prayed all night, and then the next day he now picked his disciples. But among those disciples, Peter denied him and Judas betrayed him. But in all of those challenges, God saw him through. So that you prayed and you followed God does not mean that challenges will not come, because the Bible already told us many are the afflictions of the righteous. But one thing is certain, the Lord delivers them out of them all. Amen? The counsel of God must stand so long as you choose to follow him and do things his way. Remember, we are living in a fallen world. But we know that God is faithful to his own. So long as you keep on renewing your mind with the word of God, God will keep on giving you information as to how to navigate through this life, navigate through your relationship, so that you don't become a stumbling block to anyone. Rather, you become a stepping stone whereby somebody can become the best of who he's supposed to be. Amen? We talked 2 weeks ago also for the husbands, where the Bible said that they should love their wives just as Christ loved the church and gave his life. Husbands are the protectors in the home. They also live under God. But God says, love her. You know, the Bible said in verse 26 of that Ephesians chapter 5, he said that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. not harsh words, but words of grace. You know, there are ways, women are highly emotional. There are ways you speak to a woman. There is something that dies. The same thing happens to men. Something happens here, and that thing that happens there that makes you like this, it's not healthy at all. You want her to be bubbling all the time, as much as is possible. Even when she's wrong, there's an approach to make that correction. In that sweet, gentle, you know, spirit, allowing the Spirit of God to walk through you to help her to become the best of her. Verse 27 says that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. This is the heart of the Father, that she should be holy and without blemish. And you, the husband, too, that you should be holy and without blemish. You can imagine when the book of Jude 24, that Jude 1, 24 says, that say, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to keep you man, to keep you woman from stumbling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. That way you're helping God to make sure that woman, because whatever God does, he does it through us. God is spirit, but he does it through us. You're helping God to make sure that she's presented before God, holy, without any blame. And also, the same God that is working in you is the one who is working in your wife, and he will continue to work in both of you up until the time of Jesus' return. But you become an enabling force to each other to help achieve that purpose. So he said in verse 28, it says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. I don't think any man hates himself. If there is, then I think you need Jesus. Yes. And he said, for no one ever hated his own flesh. That's verse 29. But nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does to the church. How does he do? Via the word of God, nourishes and cherishes the church. Nourishes and cherishes your wife. Nourishes and cherishes your husband via good food on the table and a very wonderful environment that is welcoming to that man, so that he feels good and wants to come back home again and again and again, and not want to stay too long at the office or want to hang out a long time with friends. Amen? The Bible also said to the man, dwell with them according to knowledge. And I gave an example. The young man, when he was telling me, Obi, she wasn't brought up like yourself, the example I was giving last week. And I said, but at least you knew her roots. You knew her foundation. It wasn't her fault. She was living with a wealthy uncle who took care of her and pampered her so much. And you knew all this. So you're supposed to give her room. And you teach her, maybe bring somebody who will teach her the way to cook. So you deal with them according to knowledge. When I began to live with my beloved husband, I was cooking my best dishes and all that. But it took some, I think it was when we moved over to Queen's College, Lagos. I remember that one day again I did, it was okra soup. He loved ogbono without okra. And there may be some bitter leaf in it. I didn't know that was how he grew up. So one day he now said, honey, I just don't like okra soup. I cook ogbono with okra. He said, I don't like it. He said, I wasn't brought up that way. See, he showed me the way the mom was brought out. So from then, I began to make two different pots. Anytime I would make that ogbono soup, I would put his own, you know, separately, and then put okra and ugus, you know, in mine, because that was the way I was brought up. So you allow them. You would have known these things. So be prepared to give them room to change. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you dwell with them according to knowledge. And that way you shut off the enemy that wants to, you know, to break your relationship. You know, these things are necessary. The Bible says, so that your prayers be not hindered. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. the lower part of faith. You know, because faith operates through love. So you can imagine when there is no love, you're dealing with her, because that man, the way he was talking to me that day, he visited us at Queens, he said, "You don't know what I'm talking about. How can I be the man? I'm the one cooking." I said, "But then you knew how she was brought up. You deal with them according to..." So the lady became so angry and became so offended and thought about this and thought about this and thought about this, and she ran crazy. And remember what I said about the medical scientist, neurologist, that said that 75 to 98% of the illnesses that people suffer is from the thought life. And the cancer research, the recent one, I'm talking about Caroline Leaf, 98% is from the thought life. And it's not that they are proving to us, because the Bible already warned us, be careful how you think. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, "Your life is shaped by your thought." He said, "Guard your heart above all things, all that you guard, for out of it flows all the issues of life." If your life is what you think, you help each other to think what is right. You don't give room for the devil. Amen? So God wants us to love one another and to do everything we do with love. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14. He said, "Let all that you do be done with what? With love. Whether you're marrying, you're doing business, you're working under somebody, somebody is working for you, you're shopping, in everything, do it with love." And you have that love in you as a child of God. The love of God has been shed abroad in our heart, according to Romans 5:5. You have it. You have Jesus, the love of God in you. And love is one debt that we will never stop paying. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says, let's read it together. "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law." Say, "Owe no one nothing," which means you can go ahead and finish all the payments of whatever you owe. But love is one thing that you owe. You never get to finish paying until Jesus comes to take us home. I told a story some time ago about the house that I housed when I was at Queen's College, the called Obong House. That house used to come last in everything. Of the six houses, that house was always the last. And the house where I was, we were always the first. Me and one of my precious sisters, Pastor N.K. Onozo. So it got to a point, my house at the time was Danfodia. So the principal said, "No, something has to be that he's going to split these two house teachers. He's going to take one of you and put in the Obong House that used to come last." And they took me because I was a second. I was assisting N.K. I said, "Oh my goodness, how am I going to do with these girls?" But you see, I'm under authority. I had to take that leadership. And I called my family together. We pray morning, night in life. I said, "Look, we're going to start praying for this house. Something must happen in this house." And I picked my armor of weapons of warfare, the love, scriptures. I hold, assembly with them every day. The principal does it on Friday, and I do for them on Mondays, the principal. Then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I do it with them. And then we hold meeting once in a month inside the compound, because we are living on the compound. It's a house, it's a boarding house. So I was always using the love scriptures, and this was the main of it. And I met all of them to recite this, to memorize it. And I say, anytime you meet Dorothy, or anytime you meet one of them, tell them, "You owe me love." And this was what we began to do. Passionately, I will pray with them. Every Saturday, I will run to the house. I will help them to scrub the rooms. There are six rooms belonging to Obong House. I will kneel, and I will be teaching them the way to do it, because love has action. With prayers, with God. Do you know, that very year, the house came from sixth to fifth. The next year, they came from fifth to fourth. The next year, they came from fourth to third. The next year, they came from third to second. And then the last year, which was the year that I came over here, they came first. Why? Love. And I was teaching them, forgive each other, love each other, help each other. When they come to inspect, greet them with smiles, stand and say, hey, senior so-and-so, good morning, welcome. I began to teach them all that. And with prayers being fired by all of my family members, my children, they all knew. Everybody knew our bunkhouse. It didn't take long. Many parents wanted to bring their children to Obong House. Before, every parent were running away. If you say they're putting your child up, they say, no, we don't want. We want Danfodio. They want the winning houses. There is absolutely nothing you cannot change with love. Both your husband, your wife, your children, or anywhere you find yourself. There is no shame and no disrespect in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. These are some of the scriptures I use with them. Love doesn't easily take offense. Don't take offense. When people know better, they act better. If they are not acting better, it's because they don't know better yet. Keep modeling, keep praying for them, keep encouraging them. Love shuts the door against strife. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers and overwhelms all transgressions, forgiving and overlooking another's fault. Strife is one very dangerous thing that you don't want around you, but with love, it overwhelms all transgressions. When you shut off strife, you shut off the devil from your house. When we used to be in elementary school, we used to do this game. Everybody would hold hands together and say, "Onye kwena gobata agune wewe." You know, don't allow the tiger to come in. And they don't want you to make room. You hold hands together. That's how you must hold hands together, husband and wife, so that you don't let the devil, because when you give him an inch, he comes in full force. And, you know, he wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Let's look at some of the traits of love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7 says, love endures long and is patient. Love endures long. He said, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. Love is kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. Have you seen husband and wife that are kind of jealous of each other, want to be the one that the children notices more, that the children honors more? We shouldn't be so, or even anybody for that matter. Love is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, that's arrogantly, that's showing I'm superior to you, I'm better than you, or looking down on your husband, on your wife with that disdainful look. You would know it because, remember we said that sincerity is very important and God is interested in your heart. What goes on here? That's what God is interested in. He said, love, God's love in us does not, it is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude or mannerly and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. But like we said at the end, let the man be the head. When you make your suggestions and with a good attitude, let the man be the head. But remember, like we said, please, when it is something contrary to the word of God, you don't have to yield. If it's contrary to what the word says, because you're first submitted to God before your husband or before anybody for that matter. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. we said is simple when it comes to evil. You know, it doesn't consider, when it comes to malice, no, that's not love. But when it comes to understanding or maturity in the ways of God, that is love. He pays no attention to a suffered wrong, verse 6. He does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevails. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. He's ever ready to believe the best of every person. That is, he makes the best construction of whatever anybody says or does. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Amen? This is God's kind of love. But God lives in us, and we grow in the manifestations of these God's kinds of life, you know, traits. So choose to pay no attention to gossips unless what you witness yourself. But if you follow the inward peace and you feel agitated, it's important when you ask, follow, believe him or believe her and trust God for the rest. It's your choice anyway. The Bible said, vengeance is mine. That's what God said. Romans 12, 18 to 19. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If it is possible, as much as you can hold, because God knows that we grow in these things. He said, live peaceably. He said, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Vengeance is not yours. So don't take laws into your hand and begin to avenge for yourself. Don't do that. Rather, God wants us to overcome evil with good. In Romans chapter 12, 20, 21, it says, and if your enemy is hungry, buy him lunch. Can you imagine that? Buy him lunch. Win him over with kindness. For your surprising generosity will awaken his conscience. This is so very important, because unless the heart changes, nothing changes on the outside. How did God win us over? For God so loved the world that he gave. So you win him over with kindness. Your surprising generosity will awaken his conscience. And God will reward you with favor. So he said in the last verse of 21, never let evil defeat you. That's a command. But defeat evil with good. That's overcome evil with good. The more bad they do you, the more good you choose to do. The more they kind of show that they love you, you go and make the best pot of soup. Or you go and go to Macy's and buy the best clothes. Pursue peace. Overcome evil with good. Bless those who persecute you. If they are hurting you, keep praying a prayer of blessing to them. Don't ever open your mouth to curse. Because when you curse, it gets back to you. But the blessings will come back to you. Romans chapter 12, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. That's what the Father wants you to do. You might not feel like it, but however, you choose to do it because you know this is the will of the Father. This is what the world recommends. It is that blessing that you're pronouncing that will come back to you. You can't be praying a blessing and at the same time cursing. All right, otherwise you open the door for the devil and that negates your prayers. So when you're praying for somebody, don't begin to backbite. That's talk evil against that person, especially at the back of that person, because it's going to affect your countenance and it's going to affect your faith, affect your prayers. Proverbs 25:23 says, the north wind brings forth rain, so does a backbiting tongue bring forth an angry countenance. You begin to wonder what happened to your mood. It's because of what you're saying about against somebody, especially when that person is not there. The Bible, we are called as believers to speak only blessings. And when we speak only blessings, we will see good days. 1 Peter chapter 3, 8 to 11. 1 Peter 3, 8 to 11, verse 8. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. That is, be polite, respectful. Be considerate in your manner. I remember the one man that said to the wife, you know, a visitor came, and this was a visitor that the lady also knows. And the man said to the wife, get out, go to the kitchen. The place of a woman is in the kitchen. And this woman just quietly walked out and went to the kitchen. And this woman never reacted negatively to the man because he knew that this man didn't know any better. Like I said, when you know better, you act better. But later on, the man began to, that was years back, the man began to regret what he said. Can you imagine what inspired him to say that, get out, get to the kitchen, the place of a woman is in the kitchen. That is not for a child of God. That is a speaking abusively and angrily, angrily insulting your partner. The Bible said in that verse 9, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that what? You are called to this. Abraham was made a blessing, and we are Abraham's children, and we too are blessing everywhere we are. He said that you may inherit a blessing. That you may inherit a blessing. It is a blessing that you're sowing, that you're planting via what you're saying, coming from your heart of hearts. That's what you're going to reap. Verse 10, let's read verse 10 together. Verse 10, ready, go. For he who will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Amen? Amen. Speaking deceit, that's a language of the devil. You don't want to go there because you've been delivered from that kingdom. You are now in the kingdom of the Son of, you know, his love, Jesus Christ. Refrain your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Let it be far from you as a child of God. You want to see good days, so plant good seeds. Seeds in line with what the Father wants you. Seeds of blessings. Verse 11, let him turn away from evil and do what? Good. Let him seek peace and do what? Pursue it. Pursue. You know, when you're pursuing, it means that it's running away from you and you're running. You want to grab it. You want to run and grab peace. Pursue it. Like someone in a terror, you want to grab peace. Be a person of your words. I read this, I think about 2 weeks ago or so, from TPT Devotional. Proverbs chapter 19, 22. I will just read what is here. He said, that which is desirable in a man is his what? Loyalty and unfailing love. But it is better to be a poor man than a wealthy liar. Hallelujah. So this was what the comment they made there. Following through on your promises is as important as the vows you make. In fact, it is even more valuable. If you do not faithfully do what you promise, your word will mean nothing to others. Instead of building bridges of trust, you tear at the fabric of your own character, the fabrics of your own relationship. When you realize that you've overpromised, be honest about it and ask for forgiveness. And when others fail to meet your expectations, you can also offer compassion and tender mercy to them, giving them the chance that you hope for. So we should be people whose word is our bond. Yea, yea, nothing other than that. God wants us to keep our vows. I read that and it blessed me some years back, and it really restored certain things in our family. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 4 to 6. He says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have promised. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? Be careful when you're making promises, when you're making a vow, especially before God. I remember how one day at the bank there, I met with my precious sister Carol, because I knew what I promised for the missions. And something happened in January. They said that they made a mistake. They forgot to start taking our insurance from June 2025. And the thing piled up. So in January this year, they now gave me what my insurance bill was supposed to be, which lowered so much the income that had been coming since June last year. And on top of that, they say, well, we are owing almost $7,000. So I had to call and say, please, this was my predicament. I made this promise, but I don't think I can afford that level. So she said, okay, I should put what I think. It's before God. We have to be honest. We have to be people of integrity. And I just put the amount I knew I could conveniently. So before you make any vow before God, do what you know that you can keep, so that they don't have this experience of many people vow but they are not paying. That is not a good testimony for a child of God. God wants us in Matthew 5:37 for our yea to be our yea. I say anything other than that is from the devil. And our Father God is not a man that he should lie, and we are his children. So you shut the doors to troubles when you speak in line with God's word. Shut the door to troubles. The Bible said in Proverbs 21:23, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards himself from troubles. So a lot of things we go through is because of what we are saying. Be mindful of what you're saying. Remember, you love life and you want to see good days. Refrain your tongue from speaking deceit. Words can fuel your mood. It can fuel it either to be good or to be bad. And that will lead to a bad attitude if it is a bad mood, or a good attitude if it's a good mood. And that will affect your relationship in the same manner. So if you speak positive and good things, then you minister life to yourself and to others. But if you speak negatively, you minister death to yourself and to others around you. So your speaking positively will increase your good mood and good attitude, and negatively will increase your sadness, and your mood drops and it affects your health. But thank God, as children of the kingdom, we have the mind of Christ. We know his thoughts and purposes, and we are encouraged to portray that his thoughts and purposes. So we have the right and the privilege to choose. So let words of thankfulness fuel our life to a life of peace and joy, and also our relationships. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the word of God said in Matthew 12:34. So what you fill your heart with will naturally reflect in what you are saying. When your heart is filled with good stuff, like you program it with the word of God, the moment anything contrary to the word of God shows up, your heart will reject it. You will know it's not from God. And if it is, if it is from God, your heart will be in acceptance of it. So that's why we must be careful what we expose our hearts to. We are encouraged to be the perfect man, able to bridle our whole body. James 3:2. It says there, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. You are able to control your whole body. You will be able to direct your family better. You'll be able to better help your husband, better help your wife, better help your children, because you are a perfect man who is able to bridle your whole body? Because you're mindful to be sure that what comes out of your mouth is in line with the word of God. What you are speaking about your husband or your wife or your children will either bring blessing or will bring a curse upon them. And you don't want to do it. You should be grateful for that man, for that woman, for the children that God gave you. And bless them every chance you get. When anything negative is trying to come out, do like this. Say, God bless you. Just end it there. Don't allow anything negative. Jesus knew this, and that was why he said that he was not going to speak at a certain time, that the God of this world was coming, but he had nothing in him, in John chapter 14, verse 30. And Satan knows he has lost the power to harm us. So he tries in strife and works so hard to bring an offense among God's people. And how he does it is he begins to inject negative thoughts. You have to be watchful about this. And don't allow him, by being careful, to protect your mind from whatever is going on through there. Amen? The Bible said that our weapons of warfare are not carnal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 to 5. For though we walk in and live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Verse 5, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we, not God, we, by the help of the Holy Spirit, lead every thought and purpose away captives into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. We do so. When your mind is programmed in line with the word of God, you'll be able to know. You cast down, that is, you refuse by the power of the Spirit of God at work in you. You can't win any battle on your own. It has to be by the word of God. And when those reasonings, the devil is reasoning your mind, he did it the other day. Why would you allow that? This, and that. Cast it down. And listen to the still small voice. God will always tell you what to do, how to do it. You can't go wrong when you follow the word of God. Let this word of God, the Bible, be your standard in everything. Believe in the integrity of God's word. There is no way you will go wrong. Psalm 119 verse 165 says, it says, great peace have those who love your law, who love your word, and nothing causes them to stumble. You can't go wrong following the word of God. You might look stupid. People might think you are crazy. You've gone too far. But you can't go wrong following the word of God. Let it be your standard in everything that you do, in all your relationships. Jeremiah gave a testimony to that effect. In Jeremiah 15, 16, he says, when I discovered your words, I did what? I devoured your word. That is, he ate it hungrily. Hungrily, yes. They are my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God of heaven's army. Don't you bear his name? You do too. So the word of God will do the same for you. Victory comes directly from the word of God. Period. Victory in your relationships, in your business, in whatever life's endeavor, it comes directly from the word of God that you have in abundance in your heart, and you speak out of your mouth in faith. The Bible said in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, let's read it together. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to do what? Build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. No building up, no inheritance. What builds you up? The word of God. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than two-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. The word of God is given to us for correction, for instruction, for reproof, so that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And when you keep on giving yourself to this word, your experience will be 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, which says, let's read it together. And all of you, as with unveiled face, because we continued, that is talking about renewing, ing, renewing, because we continue to behold in the word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So as you keep on beholding as in a mirror, keep on focusing on the word of God, focusing on Christ, who is the author and the finisher of your faith, allowing your roots to be deeply rooted in him, setting your mind and keeping it set on the things above, where Christ is seated, there is absolutely no way your relationship will not thrive. There is absolutely no way. Choose to follow Christ and his ways. Choose to program your mind by constantly renewing your mind with the word of God. You will find out that you will thrive in everything. Like I said, to love like God, it calls for prayer, praying a lot in the Holy Spirit. Pray a lot in the Spirit. The Bible says, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. The more you pray in the Holy Spirit, the more revelations you keep getting as to how to relate with anybody that comes around you. The more you learn how to live this Christian life successfully. And the more you keep yourself in the love of God. That's what the Bible told us in Jude 20. So let's do what the word of God said. And you find out that you will experience what the word of God said. I want us to read this last scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, 1 to 2. Ephesians 5, 1 to 2. Let's all read it together. Ephesians 5, 1 to 2. We don't have it? Okay, it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. Because you are his children, his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Imitate God. Whose attitude and actions are you depicting? Make the right choice today to keep on depicting the life of Christ. Screen everything in that lenses of Philippians 4. Whatever things are true, pure, lovely, if there's any virtue, if there's any one thing worth praise, if there's anything good report, there has to be 9 elements. Once you screen and everything passes, yes, meditate on it. Dwell on that. Allow that to flow through your life. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Remember, you can do all things through Christ who infuses the inner strength. Christ remains your sufficiency. He's there to help you 24/7. I want you to begin to pray for yourself. Ask God to help you. It's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit of God. He's eager, more than eager to help you. He's more than eager. He's able, more than able to accomplish what concerns you today, to do much more than you could ever dream. That is his greatest delight. Ask him to help you, and he will certainly help you. I want you to say this prayer with me. Father God, I pray that my love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that I may approve the things that are excellent, that I may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we still continue to be in the mode of prayer?
The scripture tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Let us begin to ask God, as we have just prayed, that we will allow him to transform us. He has already sent his word, which is the means by which he transforms us. Ask him that you will be a willing participant, for two cannot work together unless they agree. Ask him that he will help you to become a willing participant. That is, he sends your word as he has sent it today. You will believe this word. You will agree with this word. You will operate in this word. Let us pray. Let us pray that even as we receive this word, that our hearts will be good ground so that this word will flourish and produce results. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22 and 23, it says, "The seed falling amongst the thorns refers to those who hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to those who hear the word and understand it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." Let us pray that even as God has sent his word to us today, that our heart will be good ground, that we will value the work and the word of God above everything else, above money, above jobs, above friends, above the things of this world, that the life of God will be produced in us by this word. This change in our attitude, this change, this transformation, that it will be evident in us. Let us pray. Lastly, let us pray that God will reveal every hidden bitterness and anger in our hearts, giving us the grace to forgive those people in our hearts. Why are we asking for this? Because bitterness, anger, strife, they give room to the devil. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. When we live in anger and bitterness and strife, despite everything else we may be doing, coming to church, reading the Bible, that attitude, that bitterness, that unforgiveness opens a plain door, a landing strip for the enemy to just come in and operate. But the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, that same chapter, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. We're going to pray now, because we cannot do it in our own strength. Let us pray that by the strength of God, that he will reveal to us any hidden places where there's bitterness and anger and strife in our hearts, any person who it may be towards, and that by his grace and his strength and by his spirit, he will help us to forgive. He says, as much as it is up to us, we should live at peace with all men, that he will give us the strength, the boldness, and the willing desire to go and make restitution, even now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let us pray. I hear it in my spirit, somebody asking, like, how do I even go? He says, even the words that you will speak, he will give unto you. So ask him now, Father, fill my lips, fill my mouth with the right words that will not further bring division, but will cause a restitution, that will cause a healing, that will bring about a union and a harmony. It is not by the words we will speak. Pray, ask him now to give you the right words that will bring a healing into that situation, that will restore harmony into that relationship. Let us pray. Just take the next minute to just pray in the language of the Holy Ghost as he gives you utterance, praying in the Spirit, so that he may touch the areas which we know not to pray about. Just open up your mouth and pray in that language. Let us not be silent. Let us open our mouth and pray. Bandia kaskapale ketu pretembaya beprosko famala dia teskelige bukare ama satare de kele kuskupani antes bretes kele ketun kaya sata bretos kupale de kele teskete vebetu mapai kaskele ma okali la katata asketu prekete mandika skupeli ma akina te kuskupele na ma bretos kuna mire kiskete baba baliko skumeni kade ikalu musuki
in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Eternal Rock of Ages, we thank you for your word that you have sent to us. Your word is life unto us. Father, we pray that as this word has been set forth, it will not return to you void, O God. It will accomplish the very purpose for which you sent into our lives today. This word itself will not stand against us on the day of judgment, O God, but rather it will be a testimony that this was the word sent to us that transformed us, that changed us, and set our lives on a different course. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty and wonderful Father. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.